Mars.
Between the mid-1970s and 1995, Mars developed clouds, had an overall reduction in atmospheric dust content, and revealed a surprise abundance of ozone in its atmosphere. The Mars Surveyor probe was damaged in 1997 by an unexpected 200% increase in the density of Mars's atmosphere. In 1999, a hurricane appeared on Mars for the first time in more than 20 years and was 300% larger than any previously seen. The biggest global dust storm in several decades engulfed the entire planet very rapidly in 2001, something quite unheard of in previous experience. Interestingly, this storm peaked directly before 9/11, suggesting the possibility, however remote, that the massive stress everyone felt on Earth from that event actually reflected back through time-space and had profound energetic effects upon our nearest neighboring planet. In 2001, mainstream media announced global warming on Mars, including dramatic year-to-year losses of snow at the South Pole and rapid erosion of ice features at the South Pole. NASA described this as recent global climate change in 2003. In 2005, European astronomers noticed a glow on the night side of Mars for the first time. Jupiter and its moons. Hot plasma was observed in Jupiter's magnetic field in 1979, though it was not visible in 1974. Jupiter's atmosphere was discovered by NASA scientists to be hundreds of degrees hotter than anticipated. The amount of heavy elements, such as oxygen, in Jupiter's atmosphere decreased by a stunning 10% between 1979 and 1995, which is equivalent to 20 Earth masses of oxygen embarrassingly disappearing in 16 years. Radiation emissions from Jupiter increased by about 25% between 1973 and 1995. In April 2004, a major new study announced the surprise merging of three different oval formations in Jupiter's atmosphere, two of which were quite large. Without these vortexes in place, heat would not be released as efficiently, and Jupiter might experience substantial global warming within the following 10 years, a whopping temperature increase of 18 degrees Fahrenheit, or 10 degrees Celsius. The same scientist also notes that the Great Red Spot has changed from its traditional red to something more like salmon, and that this color change may be due to an overall increase in temperature. These changes are theorized to be part of a 70-year cycle, which is believed to have started when the three largest ovals first appeared in 1939. In 2006, the three ovals that had merged together in 2004 were now becoming a huge storm, rivaling the Great Red Spot, further indicating a global change in Jupiter's climate. In 2008, two massive new storms emerged in Jupiter's atmosphere that were hotter than any ever observed before. NASA announced that this was part of a dramatic, planet-wide disturbance on Jupiter that is ongoing. The cause of the disturbance has yet to be explained. In order to properly model this global upheaval in computer simulations, NASA scientists had to increase the water vapor in Jupiter's atmosphere to very high levels, about 300 times that measured by the Galileo spacecraft in 1995. In 1995, Jupiter's moon Io had a huge, bright, 200-mile-wide feature show up in only 16 months, which was a more dramatic change than any seen in the previous 15 years. Io's ionosphere became 1,000% higher between 1973 and 1996. Io's entire surface became over 200% hotter between 1979 and 1998, New colors were seen in Io's aurora in 1998. Yet additional new colors were discovered in 2001. A donut-shaped tube of glowing plasma energy fills the entire path of Io's orbit of Jupiter. Scientists think this tube is caused by charged particles spewing from Io's volcanoes. The charged particles in this tube became 50% denser between 1979 and 1995. The overall density of the tube increased by 200% between 1979 and 1995. A ribbon-like cold portion separated out and significantly brightened between 1999 and 2000. Confounding the mainstream models, another surprisingly dense plasma tube was discovered in 2003, this time sharing the orbit of the moon Europa. In this case, there are no volcanoes to account for where the charged particles are coming from. As of about 2003, Europa's aurora was observed to be substantially brighter than it was expected to be in a 1998 model. The third large moon, Ganymede, has an aurora that became over 200% brighter between 1979 and the mid-1990s. This increase in brightness is believed to be caused by a 1,000% increase in the density of Ganymede's atmosphere since 1979. Ganymede also has its own magnetic field, in defiance of all conventional expectations. The fourth large moon, Callisto, was recently observed to have an aurora that is fully 100,000% higher in intensity than Jupiter's own magnetic field in that area. A third plasma tube, bigger than Io's tube and the one in Europa's orbit, was discovered in 1998. In defiance of all mainstream thought, it rotates in the opposite direction of Jupiter itself. Counter-rotating fields are a basic aspect of the flowing interaction between the spin fields of space-time and time-space, as I have described in my other books on the Divine Cosmos website. Similarly, in 2007, Italian scientists discovered that our entire galaxy has two different halos composed of different types of stars which are counter-rotating inside of each other. Our Sun is part of one flattened halo of stars traveling at about 20 kilometers per second. A spherical halo of stars with a different chemical composition is counter-rotating at 70 kilometers per second. Saturn. Saturn's own tube-shaped cloud of plasma energy became 1,000% denser than expected between 1981 and 1993. Bright aurorae were seen at Saturn's poles for the first time in 1995. In 2008, NASA announced a bright aurora at Saturn's North Pole, which covers an enormous area. Our current ideas predict that this region should be empty, so finding such a bright aurora here is a fantastic surprise. Clouds at Saturn's equator slowed down by 58.2% between 1980 and 1996, again suggesting a reduction in the flow of time similar to what we are seeing in the Sun. Massive emissions of X-rays from Saturn's equatorial region were detected for the first time in 2004. Such changes suggest that a fundamental shift has occurred within Saturn. In addition, curious dark areas named spoke formations were first observed in Saturn's rings in 1980. And were seen to rotate faster than the rings themselves. By December of 2003, scientists working with the Cassini probe, the first probe to return to Saturn since the Voyager missions in 1980 to 1981, were already getting excited about seeing the spoke formations in the rings again. However, by February 2004, the scientists acknowledged that the spokes were no longer visible. A gigantic storm, with lightning bolts 1,000 times stronger than any seen on Earth, was announced in 2006. Saturn's moon Titan appears to have had a 10 to 15% increase in the size of its atmosphere between 1980 and 2004. However, If NASA's more conservative published estimates of Titan's former atmosphere size at 250 kilometers are correct, then Titan's atmosphere may have actually expanded by as much as 200% in its overall height. Fast-moving bright clouds have now been seen in Titan's southern hemisphere, which are inexplicable in mainstream models. Ozone atoms, again a sign of ionized plasma, were detected on Saturn's moons Dione and Rhea in 1997. A severe storm was seen for the first time near Titan's equator in April 2008, blatantly contradicting NASA's models and leaving scientists feeling puzzled. Uranus. Though Uranus appeared as featureless as a cue ball in 1986, remarkably bright clouds began to appear as of at least 1996. By 1998, Hubble had discovered nearly as many clouds in a short time as had ever before been observed in the entire history of Uranus. By 1999, NASA articles were referring to Uranus as being hit by huge storms, making it a dynamic world with the brightest clouds in the outer solar system. The head NASA scientist referred to these increasingly bright and active clouds as really big, big changes on Uranus. In October 2000, a NASA briefing admits that long-term ground-based observations of Uranus are showing seasonal brightness changes, whose origins are not well understood. In November 2004, Uranus again made headlines. 30 distinct large clouds were now visible, more than the entire amount of clouds ever counted prior to 2000. And these clouds were brighter than ever before. According to one NASA scientist from Berkeley, "We have never seen such vigorous activity in the southern hemisphere before. Penetration of these clouds' activity to higher altitudes is unprecedented." Additionally, carbon monoxide gas was detected in Uranus's atmosphere for the first time in December 2003, and the scientists feel that this gas comes from dust flowing throughout the solar system. Dramatic changes in Uranus's rings were announced in 2007, including brightness increases, a potentially new ring, and a cloud of dust particles pervading the entire ring system. Neptune. By June 1994, Neptune's Great Dark Spot, a circular feature in the southern hemisphere like the Great Red Spot on Jupiter, had disappeared. By March or April 1995, it had reappeared in the northern hemisphere. NASA said that this new spot was a near mirror image of the first spot previously imaged by Voyager 2. This also led NASA scientists to say that Neptune has changed radically since 1989. 2 years later, NASA wrote of a looming mystery. The newly migrated spot appears to be trapped at a fixed latitude in its new position in the northern hemisphere. This appears to have been caused by a perfect geometric shift in the grid, as the new northern latitude was the same as the southern. By 1996, less than a year after the hyperdimensional pole shift, Dr. Lawrence Stromovsky noticed an increase in Neptune's overall brightness, which continued dramatically increasing through to 2002. Blue light became 3.2% brighter, red light 5.6% brighter, and near-infrared light intensified by a whopping 40%. Some areas of latitude became fully 100% brighter. The physics to explain such a change in brightness are just not there in the conventional models, since Neptune seems to run on almost no energy. Neptune's south pole was found to be 18 degrees warmer than the rest of the planet in 2007. Neptune's moon Triton experienced a very large 5% temperature increase between 1989 and 1998, This is comparable with Earth's atmosphere heating up by 22 degrees Fahrenheit in only 9 years. It is believed that Triton's atmospheric pressure has at least doubled in bulk since the time of the Voyager encounter in 1989. Pluto. Even though Pluto has been drifting away from the Sun since 1989, its atmospheric pressure increased by 300% between 1989 and 2002, causing a noticeable rise in surface temperatures. Again, this is attributed to seasonal change. According to one leading NASA scientist, the changes observed in Pluto's atmosphere are much more severe than in Triton's. We just don't know what is causing these effects. These changes are not subtle. Indeed, the idea of seasonal changes being responsible for such a severe increase is said to be counterintuitive. The NASA team acknowledges this unexpected global warming of Pluto, but says that it is likely not connected with that of the Earth, since the Sun's output is much too steady. The scientists suggest some longer-term change, analogous to long-term climatic changes on Earth, could be responsible for the massive global warming of Pluto. The Associated Press revealed in February 2010 that Pluto's colors did not change between 1954 and 2000, but then the red levels became 20 to 30% stronger by 2002. In addition, nitrogen ice is shifting in size and density in surprising ways. Earth changes not related to industrial pollution. Some Earth changes cannot be attributed to human industrial pollution. According to NASA scientists, activity in Earth's two known Van Allen radiation belts grew so intense in May 1998 that a new belt was created, generating excitement and awe in the scientific community. This new belt contains mostly ionized nitrogen, neon, and oxygen particles, which are new and unexpected since the inner Van Allen radiation belt itself consists mostly of protons. The original source of the atoms is believed to be the local interstellar medium, i.e., the gas, dust, and energy between the stars. In February 1996, NASA's tethered satellite experiment hoped to harness 3,500 volts of electricity from space, using a super strong cable to stretch a satellite out away from the space shuttle and hold it there while the cable gathered energy. However, the satellite appeared to have encountered vastly more energy in the Earth's upper atmosphere than NASA had expected. First, it encountered a variety of mysterious problems. Its computer and two of its four gyroscopes had stopped working. In addition, both thrusters mysteriously had opened and spewed out nitrogen gas. These problems caused the experiment to be delayed and are totally consistent with the observed electrical effects of what appears to be a vortex into time-space. When the satellite was finally deployed, the supposedly foolproof tether actually broke, sending the satellite reeling off into space, and NASA was unwilling to speculate as to the cause of the break or whether the earlier computer, gyroscope, thruster problems were related to the break itself. Astronauts did describe that the tether's outer coating of nylon and Teflon looked charred and melted. Thus, there appears to have been vastly more energy in Earth's upper atmosphere than earlier measurements had shown.